At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Today on a truly unique episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, when a young woman begins having paranormal experiences in and around her home, she begins searching for answers. Eventually, she discovers that her property and much of the neighborhood was built on top of a neglected cemetery. When she approaches a friend at a neighborhood barbecue to discuss, she is interrupted by everyone's amazement at just how well the vegetable gardens grown on their block. Only she knew the true reason why the soil was so fertile with the remains of human bodies. That story and more, today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of the program, and leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that. Also, if you like the show, you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and so much more, then check out ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories there for you, and it's all commercial free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode. Oh, the program. What is going on?
Well, you know, I wanted to do a little follow-up.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks ago, you and I and Harper was on that episode.
Yeah.
And we got to talking about a live show that we did in Eureka Springs.
Yeah.
Amazing little town. If you've never been there, go. Mm-hmm. It's super haunted. And we had a very weird experience.
Yes.
When we were there. And I was very, very, very uncomfortable talking about it. Mm-hmm. Because you and I had talked about it, never on the program. And her and I had talked about it that night. I think, and we talked about it a little afterwards. But I never told her how creepy it was. And you can go back and listen to that. I think it was 2 weeks ago, don't you?
Yeah.
And so if you're listening to this episode a year from now, just go back a few episodes.
Yes, yes.
And so I was very, very nervous about her hearing that. And I even told Tony when we got done with episode that night, I'm like, do you want to edit that out? I don't know about this. And you're like, no. So then I get a message. I think you got one from her too.
I did, yep.
And it was just like, oh my God, I just heard the episode. We need to talk. And the first thing I thought was, shit, She's mad. And then she's like, a few minutes later, oh, I've got more to add to the story. I was like, oh, she's not mad.
Yeah.
So she gave me her phone number and I called her, and I really like her. Like, mm-hmm. She's a really great person.
Oh yeah.
But it was a really weird experience where it was like she had a seizure, and it just felt like something more than a seizure had happened.
We had just wrapped up the show. We did the live show and everybody told their stories. And then we had the Keith from the Crescent. We did a Grave Talks episode and we talked about the hotel.
Super fun night.
Yeah. And then everybody was just kind of walking out and, you know, we were doing pictures and all that stuff. And there was a few people hanging around at the end, and she was hanging around at the end too, because
we were going to go have drinks.
Yeah. Cause we know her. And so it was like, okay. And then she gets up to go. And then she sat back down, and I was kind of watching her.
Yeah, she started walking off, and then she...
So I was like, what's going on? Because she didn't look quite right. And then she sat down, and like she didn't have her balance or something is what it looked like. And I was kind of like, this is weird. And then she...
Yeah, I thought she got lightheaded.
Then her head, she just like throws her... It was almost like it was a seizure is what it seemed like.
It was a seizure because her eyes rolled back in her head.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a seizure.
And it was very like, well, this is kind of and it looked scary. It looked like, what is going
on? Well, and I'm screaming, call 911, get us wet towels. Yeah. She got really clammy and it was scary.
So that could be a possibility. We're going to have to sign, everybody have to sign a waiver every time they come to one of our live shows. Are not responsible for possessions or seizures.
Yeah. And if, or, we need you to sign, like, if you have seizures, we need to know in advance.
Yeah.
Because I thought at the time, you know, she could be somebody who does have seizures.
Sure.
And so that's what I assumed happened. My sister was in front of her when she, her head, had, I was behind her and her head went back. So I saw her eyes go in the back of her head. And then all of a sudden her head goes forward really fast. Mm-hmm. And my sister was right in front of her. And my sister got really spooked and that got weird. And everything was weird. EMS comes and so I walked her back to her room and her dog was with her. And then I go back to my room and then my sister, and I didn't like her room at all. I had really bad vibes in her room.
Yeah.
And, but I was like, she has a dog, a pit bull, super cute and, sweet dog. And so when we get back to my room, when I get back to my room, my sister's like, it was somebody else. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, when she looked at me, it was somebody else. Mm-hmm. So that's when we left and went to Unhaunted Best Westerns, which I like them because I like to think none of them are haunted, but I think probably a few are.
Yeah.
But so we discussed it the next day and there was another woman with us and that night in her room, and she was a nurse, and her and I discussed it the next day. And I knew that Stacy had left really early and her dog was never able to settle down that night.
Yeah.
So when I talked to her, she said that when they got home, her dog started having seizures and her dog had never had a seizure.
Yeah.
And I think she had had him for like 4 years at that point. Mm-hmm. And so there's multiple vet trips and they couldn't figure out what had happened to the dog. And the vet's like, I don't see any reason the dog should be having seizures. Don't know what to do. Don't know what this is about. So she said that one day she felt like, I don't know if she was in the kitchen or someplace, but she felt this weird, like electrical thing kind of that went through her. Mm-hmm. And she said it was the weirdest feeling. And it was like this kind of weird jolt thing that went right through her. And she said that she knew then it was gone. And that her dog quit having seizures after that.
That is so creepy.
Isn't that crazy? But she was not mad at us for talking about it.
No.
Obviously, we're not sharing her name. Because that's nobody's business. Mm-hmm. But it was a really creepy thing that happened.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like we discussed it. I don't think that she had a lot to eat that day. She didn't, you know, I think, you know, maybe she was dehydrated. I don't know. But it was really weird because the EMS, when they looked at her, they're like, yeah, well, I guess you better go get something to eat. Well, why did she just have a seizure? We don't know. She's like, she'd never had a seizure, I don't think, before then.
Yeah. And that they were saying, too, like, I remember the EMS at the time were like, we don't, there's, like, your vital signs are all normal. They're not, like, what we would see typically
after someone had a seizure. After a seizure, this is what we normally see, and you are perfectly fine. And we're like, but she had a seizure. And they even said, we believe that she had a seizure.
Yeah.
Because when they came in, she was still kind of in, she was coming to.
Yeah.
But she said she remembers sitting on the chair and the next thing waking up laying on the ground. And she doesn't remember that getting to the ground or any of that.
It was overall very, the thing is, I was just thinking that is a, I've had the most paranormal experiences in that room of any place.
That was a weird.
I've had my credit card has flown across that room before.
That's right.
It's been in that specific ballroom. I don't know. And that wasn't even the event. That was like years two before we even had the event.
Yeah, you guys just went to go check it out like a weekend away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was creepy. And I knew like when I get back to my room and my sister, who I've talked about, she's been on the show and she's super sensitive. And I'm like, okay, she had an experience earlier in the night with somebody trying to get into our room from the balcony. Mm-hmm. And the balconies are so big. And she was in the bathroom, and literally all you had to do is take one step and you can look out the door.
Yeah.
And it was daytime when it happened. And she would have seen somebody there.
Yeah, what happened up there. I couldn't remember what the experience was with that, because I knew they had something that happened.
Yeah, and so, because I was having dinner with you, and she's like, I said, look, if something happens when I'm gone, I know you.
Yeah.
Something probably will. I don't want to hear about it till we're on our way home.
Yeah.
And we made a deal.
Yep.
But then the first thing she does, go, oh my God, you're not going to believe what happened while you were gone. Jesus Christ, Kathy. And so I knew that after then when she saw that, you know, when that really bothered her so much, I said, we can't stay. We got to go. And it was weird because we left the Crescent Hotel at midnight.
Yep.
And the people at the front desk didn't ask why. They were just like,
they're probably used to it. There's probably a level of this happening on a regular basis. You know,
there has to be, because like they didn't, I would think most hotels would be, you know, because like if you're in Chicago, they might go, well, maybe she's got an early flight to catch a red eye.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're in the middle of Arkansas,
you're in the middle of a mountain range.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go in the middle of the night. You don't want to drive anywhere.
It's like, it's midnight. We're checking out.
Yeah.
And I would think they would say, is everything okay?
It's probably just like, mark another tally on the board, you know, it's an interesting place. I've been there since me and Harper went. We even stayed there, but we walked around there. We did the ghost tour last fall, I believe it was. It was last fall because it was still somewhat warm. We had a fun time, but nothing, we didn't have anything strange. It was just a walk around, but interesting town, very weird vibes. If you ever get a chance,
I would go back in the hotel. I would never even consider spending the night there.
No, maybe we'll do another live show there sometime.
I could do that.
Yeah, and we'll do a Ouija board on stage and a couple seances. We'll just really, really push our luck. Like, we know you come out already without us doing anything. So this time we decided we're really going to make it happen. So
I'll wear my Ouija board shawl.
Exactly. It'll be great. It will be great.
And it's got that, what do you call the little thing you put your fingers on?
The planchette.
Planchette.
Yeah.
I'll wear my Ouija board shawl with the planchette necklace.
It'll be great. Your necklace.
I'll do my hair up.
God. Yeah, it's an interesting place. I love the place. I think it's so cool. But yeah, I mean, if you want a ghostly experience, if you're looking for that, I couldn't think of a better place to recommend, quite honestly. There's a lot of places out there that, you know, they have the legend of this or that, but a lot of times not much happens. This place, I think you got pretty good odds, quite honestly. And
you do one live show.
I know.
Live show and that shit happened.
It was our first one we ever did, and yeah.
But we want to do it again. I think it'd be super fun.
Well, yeah, then COVID struck slightly thereafter, and then everything shut down. So, yeah, but no, I was actually going through the garage yesterday and cleaning some stuff up, and I found, because I got all the equipment to do, with the intent of doing a lot more shows, and I found the box of everything. It's like, well, there's the mics, there's the speakers, it's like, it's all there. We just need to.
Yeah, let's do it again.
I know. Do it again. Let's go get more people possessed. Yes.
Awesome. After that story, like, attendance will double.
Yeah, exactly. And for the VIP possessed pass, it's yeah. So there you go.
I sit with my sister.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was an experience, definitely. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First letter says, when I was 19 years old in 2002, I rented a room on Stewart Street in Oceanside, California, next to the 5 Freeway and the 76 Freeway by Hunter Steakhouse. I worked the swing shift at a casino, and we'd get home around 2 or 3 a.m. every morning when other roommates were either asleep or away. We were all college students with weird schedules. One morning at 3 a.m., I was eating a bowl of cereal after work when I got really cold for seemingly no reason. It was August, and we didn't even have a need or heater, so it made no sense. Then I got a ringing in my ears. I looked to my left down the empty hallway. The only light in the whole building was above me, where I was eating cereal at the dining room table. Suddenly, an attic door from the hallway ceiling swung open straight down by itself. It was a type of wooden fold-up ladders with a rope to pull it down. I didn't even know there was an attic, and I never looked up there to notice it existed. I dropped my spoon and I had a wave of tingles rush through me and my heart started pounding. Then I got mad and I said, "Fuck you," really loud. Nothing really happened. I pushed the ladder back up and went to bed. Never told anyone. No one else was home. A few weeks later, I went for a run, like I always did, and I stopped and leaned over by the Hunter Steakhouse. On the sidewalk, I saw a metal plaque embedded in the sidewalk that said, "There used to be a cemetery in this location, and that the headstones were moved, but the bodies were not." You can go there yourself today and see it for yourself. A few weeks later, I was having a barbecue, and my neighbor said that my tomatoes were the biggest, juiciest, plumpest tomatoes he had ever seen or eaten. The tomatoes were from the garden behind the house. I felt like barfing because I realized why the soil was so rich and fertile. I didn't say a word. I had a weight bench in the garage, and I would lift after work sometimes. After the tomato incident, I was bench pressing at around 3 a.m. after my swing shift at work, and my ears started ringing, and my hair stood up on my neck. I left the garage abruptly. I moved out, and a few years later, I Googled the place and read about Hunter Steakhouse being haunted. I also read that the house I rented a room in was the San Diego Chargers football star Junior Sow's childhood home. He committed suicide, unrelated. No wonder the rent was so cheap. There you go. Good vegetables. I think that's a reason enough to live somewhere where that's going on.
I do like good vegetables.
Yeah.
There's that. So that's it. So the football player committed suicide in the house that he or she was living in?
Yeah.
You think?
Well, I think that's part of it, but I think more so you know, people built these homes on graves.
On top of a cemetery.
Yeah.
But you suppose that they really left the bodies? I mean, I would guess that happens quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
I would think it probably happens not so much now.
Yeah.
But 40, 50, 60 years ago. I could see them doing that.
There's areas in where am I thinking? Savannah that are like that. And there's areas all over the country, especially if you see a cemetery in the middle of a city. Yeah, you have to understand, and it's like a very populated area, and the cemetery is still there, that likely it wasn't always just in that specific area. It likely spanned out a little bit further, and zoning came in and said, okay, we're going to put a road right here and right there, and we're going to hopefully move the bodies. And sometimes they do, sometimes they cut corners. And you just kind of got to, you know, wonder a little bit.
Well, and, you know, a lot of those really old cemeteries, there was like an area of the cemetery where a lot of cemeteries are like this. The rich people had those grounds.
Yeah.
So they had the big ornate tombstones. And then as it goes farther out, there would be like a section that the really, really, really poor people, would have there where they would be buried. They might have a little bitty, bitty one, if any at all. And they didn't take care of the grounds the way they took care of those. So a lot of those just became covered up.
Yeah.
And, you know, weeds and things grew over them, and you couldn't even tell that there was any headstones there at all.
But I got to tell you what, this is the first year that I've gardened for the last probably 10, 15 years or so, but I just kind of, I guess, winged it. I've never really, you know, done research like here, so I should do it. But the process was relatively, you know, easy. I thought, you know, put said plant in hole in ground and water it, miracle grow or whatever. This year I've really been like learning how to take care of my plants. And so they produce the best crops and grow really well. And I'm doing it into straw bales, which is kind of fun. But to get that all ready, I had to go around from what I was reading, and I put bone meal, into the place where they're growing, which is the straw bales, and blood meal, which is literally just powdered bones and powdered blood. And it works really well. So I can see why a cemetery would be a very fertile place.
Sounds like vampire gardening.
Yeah. I mean, I do go out there sometimes dressed as one. The neighbors find it amusing.
I want you to grow.
Sometimes I just go out there with a cape and nothing else. And then the neighbors.
It's like, I'll put a little bit more blood powder. Is that what you call it?
Blood meal.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that.
It smells horrible.
I'll put a little bit more blood meal on these.
It smells horrible and it's red and it stains.
If you put it in water, does it turn like, is it like
it just dissolves.
Dehydrated blood?
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah, it's freeze-dried blood.
What?
Yeah, you can buy it like next to Miracle-Grow.
What?
Yes, blood meal.
And it's good for growing.
Blood meal and bone meal. It affects the,
you know, there's
the
something
pH.
About that. You know, someone like me who's a vegetarian, now suddenly these vegetables don't really feel very vegetarian.
And hey, it's all part of organic gardening, by the way, so...
I mean, but I get it. Like,
you really need that if you're going to do organic gardening without chemicals, because that helps with the pH. I mean, it's no different. I mean, here's the deal, though. I mean, if you were to garden just in the wild, in the wilderness, in your yard or whatever, you know, or back in other days, yeah, you'd have, you know, areas where the cows grazed and there's dead. I mean, there's cow bones all the time that are popping up around here. And so it would just be the natural way of the soil. But if you're not doing it in a farm pasture where that would have existed, you got to kind of do it some other way, but you're using organic materials to do it.
That's really interesting, but it's really cool to look at the pictures.
Yeah.
Like, of what, I've never heard of it, so I'm very fascinated by what you're doing.
So blood meal, bone meal, and yeah, and then sometimes if you really want to make a tomato plant grow, if you got a neighbor's dog that's really annoying,
oh, you shut up.
That will, you might end up on an episode of Dark Side of, for like, man in Arkansas steals neighbor's dog to make a tomato plant grow wonderfully.
Tony Bruschi was recently.
No, actually, I like all the neighbor's dogs. They're all real friendly. So.
But, oh, you.
Yeah, but no, it's interesting. And the stuff has a weird smell to it. Kind of a smell of death in a certain way. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Do share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to a phone call and hear a ghost story. Hi, let's hear what you got. Go for it.
Hey, Tony. So I have a weird story. I heard it from my mom, and it's not really paranormal, but this is just weird and eerie. So when my mom was a kid, she grew up in a very small town, so everybody just knew each other. And there was a legend, like a folklore figure called the Scaly Man. And Scaly Man, he was a real man. I don't know his name. My mom doesn't know his name, but he was a local who had a skin condition where his skin looked like scales. And she said my grandmother seen him as a kid, and she said he just looked odd. And so what happened was, the whole story is that there is this town, this like mansion, and his mother took care of him his whole entire life, because, you know, during that time no one really would accept him for who he was. So he couldn't get a job. He couldn't, you know, do anything. So his job was to just watch over the mansion after his mother passed away. And whenever you go near the house, they're like, watch out, the Scaly Man's going to get you. Because he lived at like this water mill across the street from the house. So a lot of the kids, like, you know, played a game, kind of like Bloody Mary or Candyman. That was his name was Candyman, the one with the hook, I think so. Anyway, so I'm a little off. I'm starving. I just had a flight from at 4 in the morning, and I just landed where I need to get to. So, So my mom found out that they were going to demolish that house since nobody technically lived in it. And her and her friends decided to go up there for a challenge to just see, like, let's go in the mansion. Let's see if Scaly Man's going to get us. Like, let's prove that we're, like, you know, brave enough to do it. And, of course, everybody was like, no, you go in. And they all decided to go in. And they looked around, and she said that it was halfway furnished. There were still books in the home and a couple of old chairs. But it looked like nobody lived there in such a long time. But when they left, this is where it gets a little freaky. There was a dog hung from a tree. Like, it was limp, just dangling from a tree. And it was not there before. And my mom said that her and her friends ran out as fast as they could And the next morning they went to go back to see if they, like, if they were, you know, seeing what they saw. And they went back, the dog was not there, and they went up to the construction then before they tore down the house. They're like, did you not see that dog on the tree? And they were like, what dog? What were you doing on the property? So it's like, they just thought, maybe they thought it up, but back when Facebook became a brand new thing, my mom and her friends got back into contact with each other, and somebody brought up, they're like, do you remember the dog at the Staley man's house? And so my mom, of course, reacted very strongly. She's like, yes, oh my God, I thought I was going crazy. And they talked about it, but it was weird. So was it Scaly Man? I don't know. Could it be just a weirdo watching kids just playing a game? Maybe. But I don't know. I found that story very creepy, especially when it came from my mom, because you usually hear about those stories like over a campfire or whatever. So yeah, I thought you guys would like that. Yeah, so that's all I have to say here. I have one more story, but I might wait to tell you it. But just let me know if you want to hear it. It's about my cat. I think he came to visit me one time, and I know you love those stories, and you talked about your cat visiting and packing up hairballs in the background. Just let me know. I would love to tell you that story too as well. But hope y'all have a great day. Bye.
I love a good dead cat hairball story. That's
I like a good visiting from beyond cat story. I think that'd be awesome. So yeah. Please call back with that. That's a creepy ass story though, because, you know, especially since it wasn't one of those stories that happened to somebody else, like, oh, my friend's mom, when she was 18, it was her mom saying that happened to her, which makes it creepier. And you tend to believe your own mom, but I don't know what they saw, and it could be somebody who was like, you know, like had a stuffed animal dog or something. I don't know. And we're trying to play a prank on him, but that would be a very well-timed prank for them to see it.
Yeah.
And you to get it up there. But that's something you would definitely, it wouldn't be like, I think I just saw a face reflection in the window. This is like, Jesus Christ, it's a dog hanging from a tree. That's horrific.
Yeah. It is horrific.
That's creepy.
If I was the man that was, you know, ostracized from the community because of a genetic condition that you can't control, I'd probably do the same sort of shit, though. I would just make the best and be like, I'm just going to fuck with the kids. Easy. Even Buddy agrees. Like, that's a good idea.
That was kind of the exclamation point.
He's like, yes.
This dog story.
Like, totally. I would, too. I'd help you. But I wouldn't like hurt any animals or anything like that. I would do like stuffed animals that looked like real animals, or, you know.
And you would weight them down, so it'd be like the stuffed animal that would hang just right.
Exactly. Or go get, you know, like the ones that are already like taxidermied and that sort of stuff. And then it would freak the hell out of everybody. Like, oh my God. I'd live it up. I'd really kind of play into everybody's, you know, emotions and fear and this and that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because why not? I mean, you're never going to get like, oh, he's such a wonderful person. Come on over for Christmas dinner. He's going to be like, it's a weird guy. And then, like, all right, fine. If that's my role, I guess we're going to have some fun. Especially, I mean, this is years ago, obviously, when they were talking about this happening. But you can make an amazing YouTube channel doing that yourself today.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, and that would just be, that'd be interesting. But that, I can see how that would be, you know, the lore and the spooky situation of childhood that, you know, you talk about for years. You feel bad for the guy, though. You know, it's like there's,
oh God, yeah.
Because there's people like that in every community that, you know, there's just like the lore about them and this and that. And is that true or is this true?
And yeah. And sometimes the stories aren't even true.
No, not at all.
You know, but it gets told so many times.
And it usually is like once you finally hear the real story, you feel like a horrible human being for like all the years of like, oh, my God. And yeah, and it's just, you know, but it's, that's the sort of shit that spreads when you're a teenager and you're in your 20s and, you know, you're arrogant and you think everything's, you know, that's it happens. It is what it is. But yeah, I can think of several of those type of things where it's like, what's up with that person?
But, still, that's creepy.
Yeah. Very creepy. Thank you for sharing that one with us. And yes, we would love to hear more stories of your dead pets hacking up hairballs. That's that is my favorite type of story. Like, you might just put a section on the website where it's just like cemeteries, you know, parents visiting their loved ones, pets hacking up hairballs after death, you know, that sort of thing.
Or dogs puking.
Yeah, that. Oh, my God. So the other day, I'll leave this on a gross note since we're already there. The other morning, I'm in bed. Buddy, my dog, is he doesn't lay on the bed. He likes to sleep on the floor. He very rarely.
And we both have dogs named Buddy.
Yep. So my dog, Buddy, and he's never had an accident in the house, like ever. He holds it like ridiculously. So like I take him out and he's like, I don't want to go. Okay. And so if something happens, you know, it's like bad because he's very, very good about it. And I'm watching, I have like the TV on. It's like the morning. It's like the first half hour I wake up. I usually turn the TV on in the background and just kind of gradually wake myself up. And so I'm kind of there. My eyes are shut. I'm hearing whatever is on TV and there's commercials and stuff. And then I hear this almost comical fart sound. And it sounded like something out of a cartoon. Just like the perfect, just like, oh, that sounded really gross. So I'm like, what was that from? Like, what were they advertising? And I'm sitting there, then I start to smell it.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, Buddy? And I look over, and he went to the door in the room, but it landed on the wall. It was projectile, and it was on the wall.
That's really good.
He missed the curtain by like an inch, thank God, because that would have been a pain in the ass to clean. But he made it to the wall. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I got that cleaned. And of course, this is the day I'm out of paper towel. So I'm like searching for whatever I can to get this thing cleaned up. And then I, you know, I get it all clean. But I felt bad for him. And the thing is, the day before, I had made some barbecue and the dogs were, I was actually putting it in a bag to freeze the rest of it. And as I was doing it, there was a couple extra pieces and I just threw it down for the dogs to munch on. And they're usually really good. Like I don't overly give them people food, usually just like a little scrap here and there. And I think that must be it. That, because other than his normal diet, that's the only thing that was different.
Could have been a little too fatty for him, maybe.
Could have been. Yeah. So we're not doing pulled pork anymore, Buddy. He's right by me. I'm petting him right now. He's looking sore. No, because
next time he'll be like, that embarrassing incident from last time. I don't dare eat that.
You talked about it on the show. My God.
Right in front of me. I was right there and he told everybody.
Wait till I'm dead. I'm going to do this as a ghost dog. I'm going to shit on the wall. It'll just be shit on the wall and there won't be a dog.
I never heard of the projectile.
Like, no, it was comically horrible.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm like, oh, you poor thing. And then he was fine, you know, the rest of it just had to, like, I know, Buddy, sometimes it just happens. You just got to go when you got to go. And he
was so cute.
Poor Buddy. So
funny.
There you go.
Your poor dog is probably so embarrassed.
He's like right now, he's like, he's like, sorry.
Oh, God. Because you know, dogs do something that they shouldn't do. Yeah. Like, Bud, he'll give you that look like, oh, I can't help myself. I'm so sorry.
No, he's rubbing his head against my leg like, I'm sorry. I know I wasn't mad at you. You know I'm not. So, all right, there you go. It's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. And it allows me to buy more paper towel for when Buddy Projectile shits on my wall. So, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com to get in on all that. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com.
95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.